ఆత్మజాయాశ్రుతాగార పశుద్రవిణ బంధుషు రాజ్యే చ వికలే నిత్యం విరూఢాం మమతాం జహో ఆత్మజాయాశ్రుతాగార పశుద్రవిణ బంధుషు రాజ్యే చ వికలే నిత్యం విరూఢాం మమతాం జహో ఆత్మజాయాశ్రుతాగార పశుద్రవిణ బంధుషు రాజ్యే చ వికలే నిత్యం విరూఢాం మమతాం జహో మాతాజీస్ వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ఆత్మ బాడీ జాయ వైఫ్ సూత సన్ ఆగార ప్యాలెస్ పశు హార్సెస్ అండ్ ఎలిఫెంట్స్ ద్రవిణ ట్రెజరీ హౌస్ బంధుషు అండ్ టు ఫ్రెండ్స్ అండ్ రిలేటివ్స్ రాజ్యే ఇన్ ద కింగ్డమ్ చ ఆల్సో అవికలే విదౌట్ బీయింగ్ డిస్టర్బ్ నిత్యం కాన్స్టంట్ విరూఢాం డీప్ రూటెడ్ మమతాం అఫినిటీ జహో గేవ్ అప్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఎస్సీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ మహారాజ్ పరీక్షిత్ as a result of his wholehearted attraction for Lord Krishna was able to give up all deep rooted affection for his personal body, his wife, his children, his palace, his animals like horses and elephants, his treasury house, his friends and relatives and his undisputed kingdom. Purport: to become liberated means to become free from dehatma buddhi, the illusory attachment for personal bodily covering and everything connected with body, namely wife, children and all other entanglements. One select a wife for bodily comforts and the result is children. For wife and children, one requires a dwelling place and as such a residence house is also necessary. Animals like horses, elephants, cows, dogs are all household animals and a household has to keep them as a household paraphernalia. In a modern civilization, the horses and elephants have been replaced by cars and convenience with the considerable horsepower. To maintain all household affairs, one has to increase the bank balance and careful about the treasury house. And in order to display the opulence of material assets, one has to keep a good relationship with the friends and relatives, as well as become very careful about maintaining the status quo. What this is called material civilization of material attachment. Devotion for Lord Krishna means negation of all material attachment as detailed above. As by the grace of Lord Krishna, Parikshit Maharaj was awarded all material amenities and an undisputed kingdom in which to enjoy the undisturbed position of king. But by the grace of Lord, he was able to give up all connection with the material attachment. That is the position of pure devotee. Maharaj Parikshit, due to his natural affection for Lord Krishna as a devotee of Lord, was always executing his royal duties on behalf of Lord. And as a responsible king of the Lord of the world, he was always careful to see the influence of Kali would not enter his kingdom. A devotee of the Lord never thinks of his household paraphernalia as his own, but surrenders everything for the service of Lord. Thereby, living entities under a devotee's care get the opportunity for God realization by the management of a devotee master. Attachment for household paraphernalia and for Lord Shri Krishna go poorly together. One attachment is the path of darkness and the other attachment is a path of light. Where there is light, there is no darkness, and where there is darkness, there is no light. But an expert devotee can turn everything into the path of light by an attitude of service to the Lord. And the best example here is Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhishthir and householders like him can turn everything to light by dovetailing so-called material assets in the service of the Lord. But one who is not trained or is unable to turn everything to the service of the Lord, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe, must give up all material connections before he can be fit to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Or in other words, one who has seriously heard Srimad Bhagavatam for even one day, like Maharaj Parikshit, from a fit personality like Shukadeva Goswami, may be able to lose all affinity for material things. There is no utility simply in imitating Maharaj Parikshit and hearing Bhagavatam from a professional man even for 700 years. To take Srimad Bhagavatam as a means of maintaining family expenditure in the grossest type of namaprad offense at the feet of Lord. Sarva Shubhakriya Samyam Api Pramadah. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్రశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణపృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. సో వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ ఫర్ టుడేస్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం సెషన్. సో ద ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వర్స్ ఇస్ మహారాజ్ పరీక్షిత్, యాజ్ ఎ రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ హోల్ హార్టెడ్ అట్రాక్షన్ ఫర్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ, వాజ్ ఏబుల్ టు గివ్ అప్ ఆల్ డీప్ రూటెడ్ అఫెక్షన్ ఫర్ హిస్ పర్సనల్ బాడీ, హిస్ వైఫ్, హిస్ చిల్డ్రన్, హిస్ ప్యాలెస్, హిస్ అనిమల్స్ లైక్ హార్సెస్, ఎలిఫెంట్స్, హిస్ ట్రెజరీ హౌస్, హిస్ ఫ్రెండ్స్ అండ్ రిలేటివ్స్ అండ్ హిస్ undisputed kingdom. So Parikshit Maharaj, the verse says, he had a wholehearted having a attraction for Lord Shri Krishna, and that's the reason he could actually give up all the bodily attachments. Now Parikshit Maharaj in the Bhagavatam first canto in the fourth chapter, it describes the glories of Parikshit Maharaj, who he is. So Parikshit Maharaj is such a great emperor that there was nothing undesirable for him in his life. Whatever he wanted, he has that. So he was quite a young man. He could enjoy the life with the power he had and with the opulence he had. Although he had all these things, but he was very dutiful in carrying out his role as a great emperor. So, by his duty, by his performance, he was actually increasing the prestige of Pandu dynasty and keeping the legacy. He inherited all those, that great kingdom, but along with that, he inherited those devotional qualities from the Pandavas. He was so dutiful, but at the same time, he was very detached. He was not interested in the wealth. He didn't live for any of his selfish interest. He was such a great emperor that all enemies will come and bow down at his feet. So he was like a first-class devotee when he was in the womb. When he was being attacked by Brahmastra, he was personally protected by Lord Shri Krishna. So before he takes a birth, he had a darshan of Lord Shri Krishna. So he lived for the welfare of others, for material and the spiritual prosperity in general. So he had so much of opulence, but still he renounced everything. He took a retirement from all that prestige and wealth and name and fame. So this is actually one of the quality of a Raja Rishi. What is a Raja Rishi? A Raja Rishi means those are saintly king. Saintly king, and Srimad Bhagavatam describes such a great kings in details. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj, he knows when to stop ruling and when to leave. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he settled his affairs as a king, which he was doing it very expertly. So he handed over the reins of his kingdom to Maharaj Parikshit. And in Mathura, he handed over to Vrajranath. And Yudhishthira Maharaj did not hold back to any positions. Otherwise, it's very most difficult job in the one of the in the world is to give up the position. We see, so these great kings, Rajarishis, are the leaders. Not only during the time they ruled so well, but even when the time came, appropriate time came, they left everything. They stopped ruling. A great ruler, he actually knows when he has to stop being a leader and when he has to give the legacy to the others. So this is a sign of their greatness. We see, unfortunately, in the today's world, even the political leaders, sometimes they don't want to leave the post and they are sticking to the post till their deathbed. They don't want to leave. Even sometimes we see actors, even they have got old, but they still want that kind of role where they are dancing with the women, right? And continues doing that activity which they used to do into their young age. And they just cover up their age by something, you know, artificiality. So even they don't retire so early. We see even in cricketers, sometimes the aged cricketer has to be told, now please take the retirement. Right? So people become so attached. I remember one time on the live television, in the live camera, this politician was asked that your government has failed, so you have to vacate this chair and this house and this office. But he was not ready to vacate. That was live on the camera. Although the results were out and his government has failed. So sometimes people hold back such an attachment. But Yudhishthira Maharaj was not like that. He was a great leader. As he left, even the Pandavas, his brothers, they also followed. They also left. We see others, as recorded in Srimad Bhagavatam, like a king Uttanupad, when he was enlightened, at that time, he didn't think that Dhruva Maharaj's marriage is not yet done. Even before the marriage of Dhruva Maharaj, he left the kingdom. We see that in a Prachini Parishad, when he was being heavily preached by Narad Muni, so even before the Prachitas come back, he left the kingdom. So, and it says that Bharat Maharaj, when he left the kingdom, he left it like somebody who passes the stool and doesn't turn back. That's how he left all that sovereignty, all that empire. He just left it without even looking it back. So these are the such a great kings that is being described in Srimad Bhagavatam, who ruled perfectly and who left, who retired perfectly, Rajarishis. So sometimes when somebody hears, okay, he renounced or he retired, sometimes it looks like, you know, was there some failures when he was governing or when he was ruling, when he was carrying his activity, his performance of duty, or was there any frustration? People sometimes say, you know, because these pupils are not listening to me, so I'm quitting. That's why I'm retiring. Sometimes people take that kind of positions, right? But that was not the case with such a great kings. So rather, they ruled so perfectly well. Everyone was so happy with them. So, so when you have done so much good to the people, you look forward for the credit of that. So, when that was a time that they could enjoy that credit, that fruit of their hard labor, what they have rendered to the society or to the people, that time they gave up everything. So this goes to show that what they did is totally selfless. This is a testimony of their service attitude, genuine service attitude. So they were ruling in the mood of a service. You know, the servant leadership, this may be coined by the modern management gurus, but servant leadership was being practiced from the Vedic times, was being practiced from the Srimad Bhagavatam times. So servant leadership, that's what they showed. So here we see Parikshit Maharaj gave up everything. So when we hear the word renunciation, it gives some alarm to the people in general. So one of the opulence of Lord Shri Krishna is renunciation. So sometimes people can't understand this, that when you have something, that is called as opulence. But when you are giving up something, renouncing something, how it can be called as opulence? So renunciation, we have to do the renunciation of the attachment which pulls us down, which degrades us down, so which stops us moving further. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explains this by giving a wonderful story. He says, there was a marriage party, he was going in a boat, and the journey was overnight. So the boatman says, okay, you all go to sleep, I will row, and we will be going across this river. So they all slept well, and as the sun rose, they also woke up to discover that they are at the same place where they started. And they looked at boatman. He said, no, I didn't sleep. I was rowing whole night. See, the whole sweat. But what went wrong? So he said, I just forgot to remove the anchor. The whole night he was rowing, but he didn't remove the anchor. And he said, just forgot. Now this word, just forgot, is little tricky. Everything was okay, but just this thing, you know. So sometimes, something in a life, it may be a small in nature, but we cannot just turn it as a not important. So anchor was something simple, right? Sometimes we say, but it was of a crucial importance. Sometimes we say, just chant Hare Krishna. So just sometimes is associated with a very simple thing and not important, but it's not the case, right? So just, it is something very small, but it is of very much importance. So as we progress on a path of Krishna consciousness, advancing into the spiritual life, we have to take care of this anchor, that we release this anchor at appropriate times. So attachment, that is what is holding us back. This attachment, so when attachment is like what is unhealthy, it appears to be very pleasurable. And what is healthy, it doesn't taste good. So we have this example, like, you know, in the evening in the temple, we have a very simple dinner, very light and simple and healthy. Healthy like sometimes a dudi, bhopla, padwal, turai, this kind of sabjis. And when our VTA devotees, they come for the dinner, sometimes they, as they see the menu, because it doesn't taste good, they feel like, oh, today we'll have to go to take the darshan of Govindji. Now, surprise, what does Govindji means? Govindji means for them is a Govindas. That's the option. So, so we have to, the point is, yes, something which is unhealthy appears very pleasurable, and something which is healthier, it is not so, tastes so good. So genuine renunciation comes from leaving those things which mind always get attracted to and which actually degrades us down. So attachment is the one which hooks us back. And Prabhupada writes wonderfully in one of the purport, he says, everyone's life must be so arranged that last stage of life can be absolutely devoted to devotional service of the Lord to attain the highest perfection of life. So everybody should arrange their life in such a way, they should be progressing towards the devotional service. And as somebody has to progress, build an attraction for Krishna, he has to release his anchors. Further, Prabhupada says, no one should follow the suicidal policy of neglecting one's supreme task of attaining the highest perfection of life, namely going back home, back to Godhead. So everybody should see that how they progress and ultimately achieve the supreme task of going back home, back to Godhead. So does that mean that everybody has to take the renounce order of life? So Sachidananda Swami Maharaj, he recalls one incident. His father was meeting Srila Prabhupada, and that was like a public event. And after that event, he confronted with Srila Prabhupada and he asked, "It is not responsible of you to bring the Indian culture in Germany." And he further says, "It is irresponsible to take the crocodile from the Egypt and put it into the cold Rhine rivers." This Rhine river is into the European country. So it is not a responsible, it doesn't serve the purpose. That crocodile will not survive there. Same way, what he meant to say is, you are bringing that Indian culture here, these people will not able to follow it. So please give up. So Prabhupada, he immediately understood that this must be the father of one of his disciples. And he took that challenge. And he said, "Okay, you can become Krishna conscious even in a suit and a tie." So immediately he opened up. So Sachidananda Swami says, "My father understood that Krishna consciousness is not just about the external practice. It has to do with the internals. It is not just about the externals." But very much to the heart. So Prabhupada, so Srila Rupa Goswami, he talks about what Vairagya we need to follow. And he mentions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So Vairagya, this word means, if you split, it is a raga. Raga means attachment. Vairagya, that means we have to give up that attachment. That is called Vairagya. And Rupa Goswami Pad, he mentions, what's the Vairagya we should follow? He says, "Anasaktasya vishyan yathartham upayunjata nirbandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya muchyate." So Prabhupada also mentions here, nirbandha krishna sambandhe, into the purport. He says, the intense desire, that is a nirbandha, for the sense object, the vishyan, but that is related to Krishna, krishna sambandhe. That's like prasad or any utility, anything which can be utilized into Krishna's service or offered to Krishna by a person who is anasakta, who is detached. So who experiences them and can utilize into the Lord Krishna's service, into his bhakti, and that is called as yukta vairagya. So Srila Rupa Goswami clears this fact that what vairagya we need to follow. So Srila Prabhupada was once approached by George Harrison, and he said, the famous George Harrison was a great musician from the Beatles band, and who was on the top of the chart in Europe and America. He said to Prabhupada and said, "Do I have to also shave like your other disciples? Do I have to give up everything?" Prabhupada said, "Not necessary. You are such a wonderful musician. You have so much of wealth. It is higher to use all this into Krishna's service." He said, "You are a famous musician. Play the same type of music which you are playing, but put Krishna into that music. You have so much of wealth, so help us in publishing this literature, these books." So that is the Yukta Vairagya. Rupa Goswami Pad, he talks about what is a useless vairagya, that's called as Phalgu Vairagya. He says, "Prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastuna mumukshubi parityago vairagyo phalgu kathyate." So he says, rejecting of those things related to the Lord, which can be utilized for the Lord Krishna's service, but somebody who thinks that these things are just materials and he rejects them, that is called as a Phalgu Vairagya or a useless Vairagya. So Srila Prabhupada says, there was a sadhus who pretend to be so Vairagi that if somebody comes to them and gives them some gifts, they immediately throw into the rivers. In front of them, they immediately throw in the rivers. And later in the night, they go with a net and pull back those gifts. So that is called as Phalgu Vairagya. It's just an external practice, but internally their heart is not changed. They are still desiring for those material objects for their own use. Rather than using it for Krishna service, they want to use it for themselves. So, Ambarish Prabhu, he talks about the famous Fisher Mansion that was in Detroit. So, Ambarish Prabhu and Govardhan Prabhu, they were looking for the place in Detroit for a Hare Krishna center. So, they zeroed down on one mansion, that is the Fisher Mansion. So, Ambarish Prabhu actually didn't like that locality because it didn't appear to him so good. And he was thinking like the whole house was being rented to some person who was owner of alarm company. So, he rigged the whole house to test all his alarms. And moreover, he had a dog and that dog has done all messed up all those carpets and everything. So, he didn't like that very much. And he was not impressed because it looked to him very dark and oppressive. And the overall look was, for him, what was very scary. So, he was not in a favor to buy that. So, there was one ballroom in the house. And Mr. Fisher, he used to have a lot of parties into this ballroom. And at the end of this ballroom, there was three arcs. And in those arcs, they used to play the orchestra. And they used to watch that orchestra. They got Prabhupada to see this mansion. As Prabhupada walked into this ballroom, Prabhupada saw these three arches. And he said, "Oh, Krishna has made this house just for us." So, Prabhupada later asked, "What are they asking for? How much money?" And Govardhan Prabhu said, "They are asking for $350,000. And Prabhupada, looking at each and every room, he said, "Every room is worth $350,000. So, seeing this, Govardhan Prabhu said, "Prabhupada, did you like this?" And Prabhupada said, "Who will not like this?" And immediately Govardhan Prabhu said, "Well, Ambarish didn't like it." And Ambarish Prabhu was confused. Why this has to be said now? Why he should be saying this now? Of course, he had a reservation. Now Prabhupada is turning to Ambarish Prabhu. And Ambarish Prabhu has to say something. He immediately said, "Prabhupada, because it is Maya." Prabhupada said, "Yes, it is Maya. Mama Maya Durataya. But Maya is of Krishna. So we will utilize this into the Krishna's service." And Ambarish Prabhu said, "That's how I learned this principle of Yukta Vairagya, utilizing everything into the Krishna's service." So yes, Yukta Vairagya is very good, but it sometimes can become very tricky. Why it can become so very tricky? Because there is whatever we have, we can use it in Krishna's service, but it can invoke all our previous material desires to enjoy. And that's where we have to draw for ourselves this borderline, that how much can I utilize in the Krishna service, and that should not just invoke my material desires to enjoy. Not too much and not too less. So Srila Prabhupada, he didn't approve of this unnecessary vairagya, and at the same time he gave that idea of how much and how much is too much and how much is not too much. So one time Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk. I don't know where the place this was, but it was very cold. It was a winter season. So he remarked, it is very cold in this season here. And he said to Akshayananda Swami, he said, "Do our devotees get enough ghee on the chapatis?" Akshayananda Swami said, "No, Prabhupada, we actually serve the ghee to guests." He said, "Because we find it is unnecessary to use the ghee for our regular devotees, and it's so expensive also." Prabhupada didn't like that. He disagreed to it. He said, this is necessary in this season. In the cold weather, they should be given some little extra ghee and some grains. And he recommended that you mix chana and urad dal as being both are palatable and beneficial. Give not too little and not too much. So, and Prabhupada said, this is an unnecessary vairagya, that there is no need. We don't approve of this. Not to give them anything, we don't approve this. So, yuktahara viharasya, that was the Prabhupada was talking about the principles. He didn't recommend this unnecessary vairagya, and he defined it. Give this much, and not too much, and not too less. So, that's how we have to create a balance. Now, we have to understand, yukta vairagya is like very tricky. So, one time, His Holiness Radhan Swami Maharaj, he was speaking, and he said, like in Hindi we say, kaate se kaate ko nikalna, right? He said, when the thorn goes into their leg, so you take out with the other thorn. But the yukta vairagya is something like that. If you have some problem, you take some other tool or technology or thing and then you remove that. But sometimes it becomes so tricky, that thorn also gets into and then you have to use another thorn. And then another thorn to remove that thorn. And then another thorn. And the whole leg is now bleeding. So we should understand, while using that, we don't get into that trap and start using it, and start abusing this principle of yukta vairagya. So this is more important. So we have to create that balance. So how to have that balance? Why to have that balance? Because mind can anytime turn to this unnecessary attachment and justify it through the yukta vairagya principle. Oh, I'm just using it for Krishna service. So there is a sometimes there's a thin line between using it for the Krishna service or using it for my own pleasure. For pure devotees, they are very crystal clear that everything has to be used into the Krishna service. But for the sadhakas, for the conditioned souls, they have to define that borderline, how much they can use in the Krishna service and how much they cannot. So, because the difference is, for pure devotee, they have pure consciousness. But for sadhakas, they are evolving. They are raising to their caution, they are raising their consciousness. Yes, in a preaching mission, we have to use the yukta vairagya principle. We have to use so many tools. But these tools has to be used with the care and cautions. With the utmost alertness, not to overuse it, not to abuse this principle for own sense gratification. So if a heart is polluted with so many anarthas, right, then that becomes a tricky to use this yukta vairagya principle. So when the heart is polluted, then we don't go by the heart's advice. Like in case of Bali Maharaj, he thought not to follow advice of his teacher, Shukracharya. So, as his teacher was deviating from the principle of devotional life, Shukracharya, who he was like a very learned scholar. He was very educated, but he was greedy. He was thinking, if Vamandev takes over all the wealth of Bali Maharaj, what will be there for me? Who will give me the dakshina? How will I be able to survive? And that's why he was greedy about his own. He was thinking of his selfish interest. Right? So, when somebody is greedy, then education is spoiled. Lord Shiva is giving teachings to Sati and he says, education, wealth, beauty is all good. And this can be used into Krishna service. So, education, wealth, beauty is good. But if person having all these good things becomes greedy and proud, everything is spoiled. He says, as if the jewel is very nice and precious, but if it is on the head of a serpent, then it is very deadly. We should keep it at a safe distance. We should keep a distance from it. So, people having so many things, but if they are not utilizing in devotional service, they are dangerous to the society. So Bali Maharaj, he knew this, that he kind of knew that Shukracharya is thinking of for his own greed and is being polluted with this. So Bali Maharaj says, I don't want to be greedy of my wealth or having a position for myself. I want to give out into charity. So he said, wealth is anyway lost, either now or later or at the time of death. But reputation is not lost. He says, how does a man live after the death? After the death, he lives through his reputation. Wealth will be anyway be not his. When he dies, the wealth or the property is becomes somebody else. So it's only by the reputation. So I don't want to go away from my dynasty's culture, Prahlad Maharaj and the great Prahlad Maharaj. So I don't want to go away from that dynasty and that culture. So there's anarthas in the heart that invokes that hankering, and therefore this Yukta Vairagya principle can become tricky. So what is the solution for this? The solution is very simple. If desires or attachments for these material things are coming back for using it for our own selfish purposes, then Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he explains this. He says, even though one may become free from the desires for futile activities, and sometimes the subtle desires for futile activities comes into being in the, within our heart, then what should we do? We should regularly do reading and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. That will help us. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, same in the 8th chapter, there are two verses. It says, Shrinvata Shrataya Nityam Grunatascha Swacheshtitam Kalena Nati Dirgena Bhagavan Vishaterdi. Says, Shrinvatam Shrataya Nityam. Person who hears Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, Grunatascha Swacheshtitam, always taking the matter very seriously, will have the personality of Godhead. Kalena Nati Dirgena. Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifest in their heart with a short time. Kalena Niti Dirgena. Bhagavan Vishateridhi, Lord Krishna will reside into their heart. And what happens when Lord Shri Krishna enters into our heart? He says, Pravishta Karna Randrena Swanam Bhavasaroruham Dunoti Shamalam Krishna Sarilasya Yathasharat. He says, the sound incarnation of Lord Shri Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, when it enters into the heart of a devotee, it sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship with him and thus cleanses the dust of all a material association such as lust, anger and hankering. Dunoti shamalam Krishna shalilasya yathasharat. So thus it acts like a autumnal rains upon pools of a muddy water. So this is how when we hear regularly Srimad Bhagavatam, this will cleanse our heart. And once the heart is cleansed, right, then there will not be unnecessary hankering for these material things for our selfish interest. So this is actually the genuine Yukta Vairagya principle. This is the basis for this genuine Yukta Vairagya principle. And what else we can do? We can consult with the devotees. We can sincerely reflect back when we are using anything into Krishna service. And reflect back, how am I using it? Am I using it for my selfish purposes? Should reflect back. And sometimes a prayerful mood to use into Krishna service and waiting for Lord Shri Krishna's mercy. Though there may be so many things in our heart, but we should wait for the Lord Krishna's mercy. The Lord Himself encourages the living entity. He says in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, He says, Jata Shraddha Mat Kathasu Nirvanna Sarva Karmasu. In this verse, in these two verses, he says, having awakened faith in the narration of my glories, being disgusted with all the material activities, knowing that all the sense gratifications leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with a great faith and conviction. Even if there are some desires, this material desires in our heart, but he should continue the devotional service. Even though he sometimes engaged in a sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification lead to the miserable result. From his past experience, he has knowing that this always result in the miserable things. And he sincerely repent such activities. When he repents, then he slowly again recovers and reinstate to his devotional service and continues progressing in devotional service. So into the purport, devotees, Prabhupada's disciples, they wrote a wonderful purport to this. They says, so if devotee says, personally I have no power to stop them. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such an inauspicious contamination. But whether the Lord removes such an attachment immediately or let me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to him. Although I am attached to material things, I can see very clearly that they lead no good because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachment to so many material things and I am patiently awaiting Lord Krishna's mercy. So I am endeavoring for Lord Shri Krishna's mercy that when Lord Shri Krishna enters into my heart, he will clear off all this contamination slowly. And further, Lord Krishna mentions into the verse, he says, Proktena bhakti yogena bhajato maskaran mune kamaradhyana shanti sarve mai rudisthite. He says, when an intelligent person engages constantly in worshipping me through loving devotional service as described by me, his heart becomes firmly situated in me. Thus, all material desires within the heart are destroyed. Kama riddaya nashanti sarve mai radisthite. So, all this kama, this material desires will be nashanti, will be destroyed. And Lord Krishna will be situated in our heart. So, this practice of devotional service and mercy of Lord will slowly clear off all that contamination in the heart. And then we can get rid of this unnecessary attachments to the material things. And we can develop attraction. Like here it's mentioned, Maharaj Parikshit had a wholehearted attraction for Krishna. And then he could easily give up all those unnecessary things which are becoming obstacle. And once somebody gives up all this unnecessary attachment, his attraction for the Krishna will become like an uninterrupted, right? So like a flow of oil. Tail ki jo dhara rehti hai is like a uninterrupted, like that his devotion will flow to Lord Krishna. So we all stop here. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki.